الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، the author he mentioned حفظه الله ما جاء في قتل المسلم نفسه عمدا وخطأ. What has been mentioned regarding a Muslim killing himself intentionally or by mistake, intentionally or by mistake. We know that to take the life of a soul unrightfully is from the great sins and the major crimes. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ And even if one were to take his own soul, it's as if he had transgressed the right against the right of another. So the ruling is the same. The ruling is the same whether a person he violated the rights of the soul of another believer or another person, or whether he violated the rights of his own soul. So whether he shed the blood of another or the blood of his own life, then all of it has the same ruling. It's not allowed, it's forbidden, and from the major sins. The author is going to mention now a number of evidences with regards to the issue that we're discussing. And to mention briefly before discussing them, a reminder with regards to the methodology of Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah with regards to the likes of these texts. These texts here are with regards to al-wa'id, with regards to the threat of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His anger. And Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they have a methodology in understanding these texts. We have seen in general that the methodology is to study all of the authentic texts with regards to one particular issue before making a judgment or making a ruling. In this manner, a person, he will see the truth clearly and he will be correct in his understanding by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So with regards to the text Nusus al-Wa'id, the text of the threat of the anger of Allah or the punishment of Allah or the threat of abiding in the fire and the likes like this, this is all with regards to the threat of Allah Azza wa Jal. And as for the one who is a Muslim, then he's exposed to that threat, although he's promised not to abide in the hellfire for eternity. So this is a fundamental principle with regards to the understanding of the people of the Sunnah, and that is that anyone who dies with sincere faith, even if it's a mustard grain seed of faith, if he's a person of a tawheed, then he is promised and guaranteed to enter paradise, although he's not guaranteed to enter paradise in the beginning without any punishment or reckoning. So those who have sins from the followers of Muhammad, so those who have sins from the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they die in that manner, and they die in that manner with major sins without repenting, then they're under the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. If Allah wills, He will forgive them and pardon them from His mercy and grace. And if Allah wills, He will punish them. A punishment according to their sins and a punishment of purification. And then they will be taken from the fire and they will be admitted into paradise. They'll be taken from the fire and they'll be admitted into paradise. And anyone who is admitted into paradise, he will never be asked to leave. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned in His book, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. That indeed Allah, He does not forgive that partners are set up with Him in worship, meaning for the one who dies in that manner, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. But He forgives that which is lesser than that to whom He wills. But He forgives that which is lesser than that to whom He wills. So anyone who dies in a manner less, dies upon sin and transgression, upon deviation and misguidance, that's lesser than major shirk, then he's under the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. Then he's under the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. And there are many evidences in the book and in the Sunnah and from the statements of the Salaf with regards to this. This is just a brief reminder because now we discuss some of these evidences so that a believer he has this methodology and understanding fresh in his mind. So the author, he says again, ما جاء في قتل المسلم نفسه عمدا أو خطأ. عَمْدًا وَخَطَأً. What has been mentioned regarding a Muslim killing himself intentionally or by mistake. قال الله عز وجل يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ تِجَارَةً أَن تَرَاضٍ مِّنْكُمْ وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِكُمْ رَحِيمًا وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ عُدْوَانًا وَظُلْمًا فَسَوْفَ نُصْلِيهِ نَارًا وَكَانَ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرًا. He mentioned the statement of Allah, Allah the Almighty, He said, the meaning of which is, O you who believe, eat not your property among yourselves unjustly, except it be a trade amongst yourselves. by mutual consent. And do not kill yourselves, nor kill one another. Surely Allah is most merciful to you. And whoever commits that through aggression and injustice, we shall cast him into the fire. And that is easy for Allah. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he addresses the believers by the name of faith. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe. And we know the statement of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu with regards to the statement. إِذَا سَمِعْتُمْ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ يَقُولِ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَأَرْ إِلَهَا سَمَعْكَ. That if you hear Allah عَزَّ وَجَلْ saying, O you who believe, then you should listen attentively. فَإِنَّهُ خَيْرٌ يَأْمُرُ بِهِ أَوْ شَرٌ يَنْهَى عَنْهُ. Because it will either be some good that Allah is ordering or some evil that He is forbidding. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this good that Allah orders, establishing that for the sake of Allah, is the greatest means to seek the mercy and the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. And likewise, to avoid and stay away from that which is forbidden is from the greatest means of piety and true sincere faith and obtaining the high ranks in the hereafter. And falling negligent with regards to the obligations and perpetrating and violating the prohibitions and having no care and concern for the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal is the greatest means to earn the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, la ta'kulu amwalakum baynakum bilbatil. O you who believe, do not eat your wealth amongst each other, amongst yourselves in falsehood, in vain. Do not eat up your property, your wealth unjustly amongst yourselves. And do not take the wealth of one another unlawfully and unrightfully. Unjustly, by strong-arming the people, or by robbing the people, or getting over on the people, or cheating the people, and the likes like this, deceiving the people, taking bribery, and the likes like this. All of this is forbidden. This is all from eating the wealth unlawfully. Likewise, taking interest, and the likes like this, and giving it. All of this is forbidden and not allowed. Also from what the people of knowledge have mentioned about this affair here, eating the wealth in falsehood or in vain, is whenever a person is arrogant with his wealth and proud with his wealth likewise. All of this is considered using the wealth in a manner that is not pleasing to Allah. Al-israf, extravagance, and going to extremes in spending and being proud and boasting about one's wealth or property or his status and the likes like this. This is all included here. This is forbidden. And then Allah, He made the exception. إِلَّا أَن تَكُونِ تِجَارَةً أَن تَرَاضِ مِنْكُمْ. Except in the case whenever it is by trade. Except whenever it is by trade among mutual consent. Any consent between both parties, meaning trade that is lawful according to the Islamic legislation and abiding by the prescribed law that has been mentioned in the book and in the sunnah with the conditions and the proper requirements established. Then this is lawful and allowed and not considered eating the wealth unlawfully. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned, and this is the shahid for the author, hafidhullah, wa la taqtulu anfusakum. وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do not kill yourselves. And do not kill yourselves. And in the people of knowledge, they mentioned that this here is in reference to two affairs. Do not kill yourselves. Yani, do not kill yourselves. Do not commit suicide. And likewise, do not kill yourselves. Yani, لَا يَقْتُلُوا بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. لَا يَقْتُلُوا بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. Do not kill yourselves. Do not kill yourselves one another. Do not fight one another and kill one another. Do not kill yourselves. So this is included here. And likewise, do not kill yourselves. Do not kill your own soul. Do not cause your own self to die at the efforts of your own hands. So all of this is forbidden. All of this is forbidden. It's forbidden for a person to kill himself, and it's forbidden likewise to kill others. All of this is from the foul and lowly way, the ways that are forbidden and permissible, from the great heinous crimes. And then Allah, He mentions, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِكُمْ رَحِيمًا. Indeed, Allah, He is merciful. He is most merciful to you. Indeed, Allah, He is most merciful to you. He is most merciful to you in sending guidance and light, clarifying these affairs that it's not lawful to eat the wealth unjustly. That it's not lawful to eat the wealth unjustly. And then He prescribed the law that is lawful with regards to finances and making trade and commerce. And this is all from the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And likewise, the fact that Allah has forbidden a person from taking his own soul or taking the lives of others as well. This is all from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has clarified these affairs. That He has clarified these affairs and revelations and prophets and messengers with light and guidance and these great details on how to abide by and live one's life. On how to live one's life and the rulings to abide by, seeking the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So all of this is from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah, He mentioned after that a threat, وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ عُدْوَانٍ وَظُلْمًا فَسَوْفَ نُصْلِهِ نَارًا. Whoever does that, and whoever eats the wealth unlawfully, whoever takes the wealth of the people and their property unjustly, and likewise whoever takes a soul as well unlawfully and unjustly, whether if it's his own soul or the souls of others. وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ عُدْوَانٍ وَظُلْمًا فَسَوْفَ نُسْلِهِ نَارًا. And whoever does this, whoever commits this affair here through aggression and injustice, then we shall cast him in the hellfire. Then we shall cast him in the hellfire. وَكَانَ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرًا. وَكَانَ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرًا. And that is easy for Allah. And that is easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is something established. Likewise, Allah, he mentioned in his book, وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ. And do not cast yourselves into destructions. And you do not throw yourself or cast yourself with your own hands, with your own efforts, into destruction. All of this is forbidden. All of this is forbidden. To kill oneself, to kill others, and the likes like this, to kill each other. All of this is from the major crimes, from the major heinous crimes. They're from the muhlikat. The muhlikat, yani the mubiqat, the destructive sins. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. With regards to this statement here that the author he's referring to, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do not kill yourselves. There's benefits here we read from Shaykh al-Sa'di, rahimahullah. He says, rahimahullah, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do not kill yourselves. أَيْ لَا يَقْتُلُوا بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. Meaning that you should not kill each other. لَا يَقْتُلُوا بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. وَلَا يَقْتُلُوا الْإِنسَانُ نَفْسَهُ. وَلَا يَقْتُلُوا الْإِنسَانُ نَفْسَهُ. And a person, he should not kill himself. So we see here this translation that we have. This is from the translation of Al-Shaykh Taqi al-Din al-Hilali with Dr. Muhsin Khan. And this is what they mention here likewise. And do not kill yourselves, nor kill one another. He put it in parentheses, because this is what is derived and understood from this verse. Not just one meaning. So this is a clarification of the richness of the Arabic language and the eloquence of the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah, he didn't say, لا يقتل بعضكم بعضا. ولا يقتل الإنسان نفسه. He didn't mention it like this. Rather, he said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do not kill yourselves. Do not kill yourselves. So that this encompassing meaning is included. Any meaning, do not kill yourselves, do not kill one another. And then likewise yourselves in reference to the believers. That the believers, they should not be fighting each other. Do not kill yourselves. You're from each other. You should have mercy and love and care and forgiveness for each other, not have anger and hatred and rancor that would carry you to shed the blood. So do not kill yourselves. Do not kill one another. And likewise, as well, what is understood from here, do not kill yourself, do not commit suicide. Let a person not kill his own self. Let a person not kill his own self. He says, وَيَدْخُلُ فِي ذَلِكَ الْإِلْقَاءُ بِالنَّفْسِ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ وَفِعْلُ الْأَخْطَارِ الْمُفْضِيَةِ إِلَى التَّلَفِ وَالْحَرَاكِ. He said, what is included in this here is that a person, he will cast his own self to destruction. He will cast his own self to destruction. And he will do something with his own hands that will be the destruction of his soul. And that he will die and lose his life because of the efforts of his own hands. And also doing the dangerous affairs. Getting involved in very dangerous affairs. Whether joking or seriously. And the likes like this that will lead to destruction or the loss of life. That will lead to destruction or the loss of life. Some of the people of knowledge mentioned, for example, the person climbing up a high tree or going into other dangerous situations and circumstances, playing on top of buildings, so on and so forth, putting himself on the edge. This is all forbidden here. وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ. This is putting a person's own life in danger unnecessarily. Unnecessarily. So this is all intended and all not allowed. So this is all intended here and not allowed. So it's not allowed for a person to go out on the line and to go out on the edge and to take a joke or to play around and to be adventurous and the likes like this while his life is on the line. While his life is on the line. This is all included here in the prohibition of killing yourself and in the prohibition of casting yourself to destruction. Any meaning at your own hands. Well, meaning at your own hands. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِكُمْ Rahima, indeed Allah, He is most merciful towards you. Indeed Allah, He is most merciful towards you. From the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, here this is summarized. This is summarized from the words of Sa'di rahimahullah. وَمِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى بِعِبَادِهِ سِيَانَةُ نُفُوسِهِمْ وَأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَالنَّهْيُ عَنْ إِضَاعَتِهَا وَإِتْلَافِهَا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has preserved the souls and the lives of the people by this law and legislation. This is from the mercy of Allah. And likewise the wealth, the rights that are related to the wealth and how to earn it, how to spend it, and the dealings. There are limits and there's a legislation and law that is prescribed. All of this is from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in preservation of the soul and preservation of the property and the wealth. So that it will not be destroyed, that those rights will not be violated. This is from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also
from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the legislation of the legal limits and punishments that are prescribed for those who violate. The legislation of the legal limits and the punishments that are prescribed for those who violate these rights. Those who violate the rights in the wealth and those who violate the rights in the blood and the honor and the likes like this. There are legislative punishments that are prescribed for the people in charge to establish for those who transgress the limits. And this is all from the mercy of Allah. This is all from the mercy of Allah. From the mercy of Allah for those who commit those heinous crimes, that there will be a means of purification for them from those sins in this life. And likewise, as a mercy, that it will prevent others from being involved in the likes of those affairs. From being involved in the likes of those affairs. So the people of not, as they mentioned, al-hudud, the legal punishments and limits that are set for specific crimes, they are zawajir wa jawabir. Zawajir wa jawabir. The zawajir meaning that there are means to hinder and prohibit people from getting involved in them. Whenever they see that a person, for example, if he took the life of a person, then his life will be taken. His life will be taken. Or if a person, he harmed an individual, he'll be harmed in the same manner. An eye for an eye, so on and so forth. That is qisas, the law of equality. And the likes like this. Or if a person, he steals, his hand will be chopped. If he's caught stealing in an Islamic court, in the presence of an Islamic judge, and the ruling is declared against him that he was stealing and the likes like this, then his hand will be chopped. So the person who realizes these affairs, then this will prevent him from falling into the likes of that. Or if he sees those rulings established against others, this will likewise prohibit him. Sal'udhu billah. As-sa'idu man wu'ilah bighayrihi. The one who was happy and successful is the one who takes admonishment from others. So he will see that person losing his hand and he will say, I will never steal, inshallah. I will never steal anything, inshallah. When we see that person losing his life, and he'll say, I'll never take the life of another person, inshallah. And even whenever they see these limits established. So this is from the mercy of Allah. And likewise, for those whom committed those crimes, for those who committed those crimes, and those limits were established against them, it's a means for purifying them from their sins in this life. And if they're taken to account for that sin in this life, they will not be taken to account for it in the hereafter. They will not be taken to account for it in the hereafter. So it's a means of purification likewise. So all of this is from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you ponder over these verses, Allah, He calls the people of faith. And then He mentions the prohibition of taking the wealth unlawfully. Immediately after prohibiting taking the wealth unlawfully, mentioning that the lawful means and the substitute for that, which is tijara, which is buying and commerce, which is based upon conditions. At the head of them, that the people do it by mutual consent, so that they do not take the wealth unjustly or unrightfully, and the likes like this. And then after Allah, He mentions the rights of the souls. Do not kill yourselves, and not your own souls, nor the souls of others. Indeed, Allah, He's most merciful. Indeed, Allah, He is most merciful. And then He mentioned the threat, and whoever does that out of injustice, out of transgression and injustice, then indeed we'll land him in the hellfire. We'll cast him in the hellfire, and that is easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many rulings and benefits derived from one verse from the book of Allah azza wa jalla. This is an example of the challenge that stands, that no one can bring one verse like the verses from the book of Allah azza wa jalla that contain admonition and prohibition and commandments and legislation and law and the likes of this all in just a few words. All of this is just in a few words, an encouragement, calling the people by faith. And then there's a mention of a prohibition. And then after that, an exception with regards to that, clarifying that which is lawful. And then after that, another prohibition. And then mentioning that Allah is the most merciful. And then also a threat for those who violate those rights with regards to the affair of the hereafter. And a reminder and admonishment that there's a punishment and reckoning in the hereafter for those who do good and for those for those who do evil. And likewise, a good recompense and the promise of mercy of Allah for those who do good. Indeed, this is all easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, this is all easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's not allowed for a person to kill himself. It's not allowed for a person to put himself in dangers where he could be killed, where he could lose his life. And there's examples of this likewise that have come in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's collected by Abu Dawood and Imam Ahmed from the Hadith of Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhu. He says, "Ihtalamtu fi laylatin barida fi ghazwati that salasin." He said that I had an ihtilam, yani a wet dream, in a very cold night in the battle of that salasin. They're on a military excursion, and he had a wet dream at nighttime, and it's a very cold night. It's a very cold night. So he says, فَأَشْفَقْتُ وَإِنِكْتَسَلْتُ أَنْ أَهْلَكَ. He said, so I was afraid that if I made al-iktisal, I'm afraid if I bathed, you need to remove the janaba, that I would die, or I would become sick. I was afraid for my life with regards to this. It's very cold. and he's exposed to the environment, and he's afraid if he were to use the water to take a bath, that it would harm him. He says, فَتَيَّمَّمْتُ ثُمَّ صَلَيْتُ بِأَصْحَابِي الصُّبْحِ. He said, so I made tayammum, and he's using the pure earth as purification while water is present. Water is present, but he did not use the water. Rather, he used the earth, the tayammum, because of his circumstance and situation, what he feared from destruction and what he feared from sickness or even death. He says, so I prayed, I led my companions, those with me, in the morning prayer. فَذَكَرُوا ذَلِكَ لِلنَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. So they mentioned that to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. فَقَالَ يَا عَمْرُ. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, O Amr, صَلَّيْتَ بِأَصْحَابِكَ وَأَنْتَ جُنُوبٌ. He said, you prayed, you led your companions in prayer while you're in the state of janabah. You led your companions in prayer while you're in the state of janabah. He says, radiallahu anhu, فَأَخَبَرُتُهُ بِالَّذِي مَنَعَنِي مِنَ الْاِكْتِسَالِ. So I informed him of what prohibited me from making al-iktisal, from taking a bath, and from using water to remove the hadith, why he did not use water whenever it was present, whenever it is present. And the ruling is known that if water is present, it's not allowed to use the tayammum. It's not allowed to make tayammum. Tayammum is in generally only allowed whenever there's no water. But here's a clarification of another circumstance when it is allowed likewise. And that is whenever a person, he fears that it will harm him. The water will harm him. It will harm him, making the sickness worse or more severe, or bringing him sickness and the like this situation here. So he said, I informed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of that which prohibited me from bathing and using water. And his explanation, radiallahu anhu, he said, إِنِّي سَمِعْتُ اللَّهَ يَقُولُ. Indeed, I heard Allah saying, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِكُمْ رَحِيمًا. Mentioning this verse here. He said, indeed, I heard Allah saying, and do not kill yourselves. Indeed, Allah is most merciful to you. So he remembered this verse, and he remembered his situation, and therefore he did not use the water because he felt like it's going to harm him. It will be a means for him casting himself to danger or killing himself. And the likes like this. فَضَحِكَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَلَمْ يَقُلْ شَيْئًا. He said, رضي الله عنه, فَضَحِكَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَلَمْ يَقُلْ شَيْئًا. And so the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, he laughed and he did not say anything. He laughed and he did not say anything. What does that indicate? Huh? Al-Iqrar. So this is called what? As-Sunnah al-Taqririyya. Ahsanta. This is Al-Iqrar. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم affirmed him first and foremost from the fact that he was silent and did not reprimand him or direct him. So it's not allowed for the Prophet, it would not occur from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that rights would be violated in front of him and he would not correct that or direct the people with regards to that. So if there's something that is wrong happening, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would address it. If there's something wrong happening in the presence of the Prophet, or if it's reached him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would address it and clarify that. He would address it and clarify that. So the fact that he was silent with regards to this issue is an indication that he affirmed that. But greater than that, an affirmation is that he laughed and smiled. Is that he laughed and smiled. So this is in two aspects. First, he was silent and he did not reprimand him or redirect him. And then on top of that, he smiled and laughed about the affair, meaning that this is a lawful excuse for him. Rather, it's from the sound understanding of Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu. So this is an example of that. So if a person, he were in that situation and then he were to make wudu, then he would have casted himself if he harmed himself. And this is another narration that has come. There was an individual, again, they were on excursions. They were on an excursion and he had woken up with janabah. He had woken up with janabah and he asked the people around him, what should he do? And they said, we don't know any way for you except you have to make ghusl. So he made ghusl. The man, he had a cut in his head. He had a wound in his head from battle. And he asked the people along with him, and they told him, we know no way out for you except that you make ghusl. So he made ghusl and he died. Because he woke up in a similar situation. He woke up in a similar situation with janabah. He had ihtinam. He had janabah, but he had a cut, a severe cut on his head, and it's very cold. It's very cold. And we know that they're living in the environment. They're traveling and living in the environment. They're not traveling and living in areas where it's warmer and the likes like this, and maybe sometimes they're not even able to warm up the water. And even if they were able to warm up the water, they're still exposed to the environment and to the weather. So it's dangerous for them. So this man, he did that. He followed their instructions and he died. He became sick and he died from that. Whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reached him, he said, أَلَا سَأَلُوا هَلَّا سَأَلُوا إِنَّا شِفَاءَ الْعِي السُّؤَالِ إِنَّمَا شِفَاءَ الْعِي السؤال, should they not have asked? The cure for ignorance is simply to ask. Then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he mentioned قتلهم قتلهم الله قتلهم قتلهم الله, that they killed him. Any meaning they killed him, and then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم made du'a against them. Any meaning out of anger, clarifying the dangers of this affair. Clarifying the dangers of this affair. So it's not allowed to put oneself in harm's way. It's not allowed to put oneself in danger, especially unnecessarily. Rather, the religion has ease. The religion in these extreme circumstances is flexible. This is from the beauty of the legislation. If it's cold and dangerous, or then he still has to make tahara, but he would do that in another manner. And the ruling is lighter, and the ruling is easier, and the likes like this. And he will make tayammum. He'll make tayammum. So all of these here are examples of the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, and likewise examples of the perfection and the completion of the legislation, and examples of the application of this noble verse here, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسِكُمْ. Do not kill yourselves. Do not kill yourselves. After this, the author, he says, وَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَنْ قَتَلَ نَفْسَهُ بِشَيْءٍ فِي الدُّنْيَا عُذِّبَ بِهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. رواه البخاري ومسلم عن ثابت بن الضحاك رضي الله عنه. And the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, whoever kills himself with something in this world will be tormented with it on the day of resurrection. Whoever kills himself with something in this world, he takes his own life with something in this life, then he will be punished with that same thing on the day of resurrection. It's narrated by Al-Bukhari and Muslim from the narration of Thabit ibn al-Dhahak, from the narration of Thabit ibn al-Dhahak radiyallahu anhu. And one wording in Sahih Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, من قتل نفسه بشيء في الدنيا عذب به في نار جهنم. عذب به في نار جهنم. Whoever killed himself with something in this worldly life, then he'll be punished by that in the fire of Jahannam. He'll be punished by that in the fire of Jahannam. And likewise, in another wording by Al-Imam Muslim, عذبه الله في نار جهنم. Allah will punish him. Allah will punish him in the fire of Jahannam. Allah will punish him in the fire of Jahannam. So this is all from the text with regards to the threat. The text with regards to the threat. So if there was somebody who did that, وَلِيَذْ بِاللَّهِ, he took his own life, we will not be certain and say he's from the people of the fire, or he's going to be punished in the fire. That's not what this means. This means that that's the recompense he deserves if Allah takes him to account for that. But we apply the principle that we know, based upon looking at all of the text, that the one who dies while committing a major sin, meaning he was upon major sin whenever he lost his life, وَلِيَذْ بِاللَّهِ, whenever death came to him, وَلِيَذْ بِاللَّهِ, he's under the will of Allah. He's under the will of Allah. If Allah wills, he will forgive him and pardon him and not take him to account and not punish him. And if Allah wills, he will punish him. And the punishment is according to his sin, and the punishment is temporary, and it's a means of purification. And so long as he died upon sincere faith, even if it's a small amount, he's guaranteed to enter paradise. So this is the understanding with regards to these texts. This is a great threat here, and this is the point of the author to clarify it's not lawful. There's a great threat with regards to taking one's own life. There's a great threat of the anger of Allah and punishment in the fire for the one who takes his own life. He says, وَرَوَى الْبُخَارِي وَمُسْلِمٌ عَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ مَنْ تَرَدَّى مِنْ جَبَلٍ فَقَتَلَ نَفْسَهُ فَهُوَ فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمَ يَتَرَدَّى فِيهِ خَالِدًا مُخَلَّدًا فِيهَا أَبَدًا وَمَنْ تَحَسَّى سُمًّا فَقَتَلَ نَفْسَهُ فَسُمُّهُ فِي يَدِهِ يَتَحَسَّاهُ فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدًا مُخَلَّدًا فِيهَا أَبَدًا وَمَنْ قَتَلَ نَفْسَهُ بِحَدِيدَةٍ فَحَدِيدَتُهُ فِي يَدِهِ يَجَأُ بِهَا فِي بَطْنِهِ فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدًا مُخَلَّدًا فِيهَا أَبَدًا. And the author he mentioned now, and al-Bukhari and Muslim, they both have narrated from Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, whoever throws himself from a mountain and kills himself, he'll be in the fire of hell, falling down into it forever and ever. And whoever drinks poison and kills himself, his poison will be in his hand, and he will sip it in the fire of hell forever and ever. And whoever kills himself with an iron weapon, his weapon will be in his hand, stabbing himself in his stomach in the fire of hell forever and forever. Forever and forever. We see that the punishment is similar in the hereafter. وَالْجَزَاءُ مِنْ جِنْسِ الْعَمَلِ. The recompense is according to the type of the deed. So whenever the person he took his own life in this manner, he'll be punished continuously in the hereafter in that manner. وَلِيَذَا بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذَا بِاللَّهِ This is something to reflect upon. Something to reflect upon. Imagine a person losing his life, but then that moment continues to repeat over and over and over. You understand me? A person losing at the time of death, he's losing his life. For example, he stabbed with something, or he's falling into his death. So imagine the fright and terror that would be in his mind at that moment, just before death. Those seconds, and the moments of dying. And the moments of dying, he's falling to his death. And then whenever he dies, it's not over, rather it starts again. He's falling to his death. And whenever he's supposed to die, it starts over again. He's falling to his death. And whenever he's supposed to die, it starts again. He's falling to his death. Or he's stabbing himself with iron and the likes like this. And whenever he's supposed to die, it begins. It continues. It doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. وَيَأْتِيهِ الْمَوْتُ مِنْ كُلِّ مَكَانٍ وَمَا هُوَ بِمَيِّتٍ And this has been mentioned about the disbelievers. وَلِيَذَا بِاللَّهِ That death will come to them from every direction and they will not die. They will not die. Any meaning that punishment that normally will cause a person to die will be inflicted upon a person, but he will not die. This is from the punishment of the hellfire. Allah knows best. This was with regards to the disbelievers. This here is clarifying the dangers of the sefer. That a believer, he will not take chances with his soul. وَلِيَذَا بِاللَّهِ He will not put his soul in danger. He will not be silly playing around, flying down the road, and the likes like this, drifting and putting his life and those around him in danger. All of this could be included in these affairs. And being a fool and acting foolish behind a vehicle, or any other circumstances, playing with weapons and the likes like this, playing with guns, pointing guns at somebody, someone they put the gun to their own head, playing Russian roulette and the likes like this, like it's a joke or like it's a game. All of this is taking the soul lightly. All of this is forbidden. وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ So all of this is forbidden. There's great dangers with regards to this. There's great dangers with regards to this. So the author, he says, وَفِي صَحِحِ الْبُخَارِي عَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّهُ قَالَ قَالَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَلَّذِي يَخْنَقُ نَفْسَهُ يَخْنَقُهَا فِي النَّارِ وَالَّذِي يَطْعَنُهَا يَطْعَنُهَا فِي النَّارِ And in Sahih al-Bukhari, from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, it is reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, whoever strangles himself will strangle himself in the fire, and whoever stabs himself will stab himself in the fire. Whoever strangles himself will strangle himself in the fire, and whoever stabs himself, he will stab himself in the fire. This is clarifying the great importance of learning the creed. Learning the creed of at-tawheed and the proper understanding of this life and the hereafter. And many people, they commit suicide and they do the likes of these affairs thinking that they're going to end the agony and do away with the pain. That's going to continue for them even worse in a manner that's out of this world, literally. With the meaning of out of this world. It's a punishment not out of this world. The way he stabbed himself in this life, Allah, how he's stabbing himself in the hereafter, this is from the affairs of the hereafter. وَلِيَذَا بِاللَّهِ And وَعَذَابُ الْآخِرَةِ أَشَدُّ وَأَبْقَى And the punishment in the hereafter is more severe. Is more severe and lasting. So this is something that a believer, he must consider. And he should not be deceived by the devil, وَلِيَذَا بِاللَّهِ And the likes, encouraging these affairs, making them appear fair-seeming, and the likes like this, or calling it jihad, so on and so forth, like the author he is mentioning here in the purpose of this treatise. The author, he says, وَهَذَا الْحَدِيثُ فِي مُسْنَدِ الْإِمَامِ أَحْمَدَ وَغَيْرِهِ وَفِيهِ زِيَادَةً وَالَّذِي يَتَقَحَّمُ فِيهَا يَتَقَحَّمُ فِي النَّارِ وَانْظُرْ السِّلْسِلَ الصَّحِيحَ لِلْأَلْبَانِ He said this hadith is also found in Al-Musnad by Al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah and elsewhere with an additional wording. Whoever hurls himself into the fire, he will hurl himself into the fire of the hereafter. Whoever casts himself to destruction in a fire in this life, he will do that in the hereafter. He'll be casting himself and hurling himself into the hellfire. وَلِيَذَا بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذَا بِاللَّهِ The author, he says, وَفِي صَحِيحِ الْبُخَارِي وَمُسْلِمٍ عَنْ الْحَسَنِ قَالَ حَدَثَنَا جُنْدُبٌ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ فِي هَذَا الْمَسْجِدِ فَمَا نَسِينَا وَمَا نَخَافُ أَنْ نَنْسَى وَمَا نَخَافُ أَنْ يَكْذِبَ جُنْدُبٌ عَلَى النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم قَالَ كَانَ بِرَجُلٍ جِرَاحٌ فَقَتَلَ نَفْسَهُ فَقَالَ اللَّهُ بَدَرَنِي عَبْدِي بِنَفْسِهِ حَرَّمْتُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةَ In Sahih al-Bukhari and also in Sahih Muslim, it is narrated from al-Hasan. Yani al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah, who said, Jundub, radiyallahu anhu, Jundub ibn Abdullah al-Bajali, radiyallahu anhu, he narrated to us in this masjid, and we never forgot it, nor fear to forget. And we do not fear that Jundub lied against the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning this is a statement of truth. There was a man who had a wound, so he killed himself. And he said, And Allah, he said, my slave hastened himself to me, I have forbidden paradise for him. There was a man who had a wound, and he could not bear the pain of that wound and the hardship of that, so he killed himself. Allah, he said, my slave hastened himself to me, I have forbidden paradise for him. The author, he says, Hafidhullah, wa rawa ibn Hibban, fi sahihihi, an Jabir ibn Samara, radiyallahu anhu, anna rajulan kana bihi jiraha, fa'ata qaranan lahu fa'akada mishqasan, fa'dhabaha bihi nafsahu, falam yusalli alayhi al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Waqala al-Albani, fi sahihi targhib sahihun li ghayrihi. Ibn Hibban narrated in his Sahih from Jabir ibn Samara radiyallahu anhu, he said that a man who had a wound came to his companion, took an arrowhead. And killed himself. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not pray the funeral prayer on him. This is authenticated by Al-Albani and Sahih Targhib, and authenticated by a number of chains, having any numerous chains. So here is mentioned that a man, he killed himself, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was aware of that and did not pray on him, although the companions, they prayed on him, an indication that he was a Muslim. But this is as a reprimand. This was a reprimand from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that a person who died in this manner, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not pray on him, although the believers, they prayed on him. His right was established as a Muslim. The companions, some of them, they prayed on him, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not pray on him. And to indicate the severity of this affair and the dangers of this crime, and likewise to deter others from being tried and falling into the likes of that. So this is something that is a recommended way for the people who are known for transgression, or they die in a foul manner, they die upon major sin and the likes like this. Then the believers, they will give him his right and establish his funeral prayer, so long as he's a Muslim. But the noble from them and those who have status in the community, many times it's recommended for them to not pray, to not join the funeral prayer as a reprimand for the people to take heed that this is something that is not pleasing. The way that they die in this manner, they died upon sin, they died upon misguidance, they died upon deviation. This is not a good way. So the people of knowledge, the people of authority, the people of position or virtue, they will not pray on the likes of those if they're aware of that. Although they will also not prohibit others from praying, whether that prayer must be established. It's fard kifayah. So a sufficient amount will establish that. But as for the noble and the virtuous, they should not establish that with them. This would be a reprimand. Those who die on drugs or in gangs and the likes like this while they're Muslims, meaning they pray in the likes like this, they're Muslims, they died Muslims, but they're deviant or misguided, then this is the case for them, and this is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regards to this. So here we see a number of narrations with regards to the threat of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even in this narration here of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, abiding in the hellfire, and he forever and ever, khalidan mukhalladan fiha. And the other ones mentioned that he's going to be udhiba fi nari jahannam, udhiba yawm al-qiyamah, عَذَّبَهُ اللَّهُ بِهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, and the likes like this. عَذَّبَهُ اللَّهُ بِهِ فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمَ, that Allah will punish him. So these are all with regards to the text. These are all texts with regards to the threat of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the understanding is one, that if they were believers, if they were Muslims, then they have the promise of the Muslims. And what is upon them is upon what is upon the Muslims is upon them. Meaning if they have sins, they'll be either pardoned or forgiven, or they'll be taken to account for that according to their sins. But their final and end destination will be the paradise. So with regards to the understanding here, the one who committed these affairs, he cast himself off of a cliff, killing himself, or off of a high, or off of something high, or he drank poison to kill himself, or he strangled himself, or he stabbed himself, or cut himself, and the likes like this until he died, or he strangled himself, or so on and so forth. All of this, what is intended from here, that he will abide in the hellfire for eternity. This is the case, no doubt, if he did that, deeming it to be permissible. If he did that, deeming it to be permissible. This is very clear. This is very clear. A person, and he has what's called al-istihlan, istihalla qatla nafsihi. Istihalla qatla nafsihi. Ra'a dhalika halalan lahu. If he believed that it's lawful, he believed that it's allowed. This goes back to his creed. If this is the case, then that creed takes him out of the fold of Islam. So here, this one literally will abide for eternity in the hellfire. The one who has declared that to be lawful, this is the case. This is the case. But as for the one who did not declare it to be lawful, meaning he's a Muslim, this is where the issue comes here of understanding the rest of the text in the same light. Of understanding the rest of the text in the same light. Meaning that he will abide for eternity in the hellfire, or that Allah will punish him in the hellfire, so on and so forth, or that these affairs, they will occur to him in the hellfire. The people of knowledge, they mention, هَذَا جَزَاؤُهُ إِنْ جُوزِيَ بِهِ هَذَا جَزَاؤُهُ إِنْ جُوزِيَ بِهِ وَهَذَا مَا يَسْتِحُقُّهُ إِنْ جَزَاهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. This is what he deserves from punishment. And this is his recompenses. This is his recompense if Allah recompenses him. If Allah recompenses him. And his recompense and that which he deserves for this crime here is that he should abide in the hellfire for eternity. But Allah has promised out of his grace and mercy those who die upon sincere faith that they'll be taken out of the fire. So this is to emphasize and clarify the severity of the sin, the dangers of this crime, that the one who commits it, he deserves to abide in the hellfire forever. He deserves to repeatedly punish himself and to commit the same action over and over and over forever and ever. But because of the mercy of Allah and His promise for the people of At-Tawheed, that anyone who dies with the mustard seed of faith, then he will be taken out of the fire. Anyone who dies with the mustard seed of faith and he is punished for his sins, then he will be taken out of the fire. And this was the hadith that we had discussed in the previous classes, the hadith of Al-Jahannamiyin, the hadith of the Shafa'ah, the hadith of those people who are believers and they're Muslims and they will enter the fire, but they will be taken out. But they will be taken out. The hadith of Jabir, that has proceeded, that was a means of guiding Yazid al-Faqir, rahimahullah, and those Khawarij along with him back to the straight path. Because of the narration of the Shafa'ah and the intercession, that there will be people from the people of At-Tawheed, they'll be in the fire, and they'll be burned into the like seeds, black and crisp. Like seeds, stalks, crisp and black, like coal. And they'll be taken out of the fire, and they'll be sprinkled into a river in paradise called Nahr al-Hayat, and they'll come to life. And they'll come to life. And there are people, yani, that are from this ummah that will be punished in the fire. So whenever it says they will not, for example, the narration, حَرَّمَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَى النَّارِ حَرَّمْتُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ حَرَّمْتُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ I made the Jannah haram for him. I made the Jannah forbidden for him. I have declared the Jannah forbidden for him. Yani, if he was a believer, it's forbidden for him. Meaning, in the beginning, with those who enter in the beginning. Or for a term appointed while the people of major sins are being punished in the fire. They're forbidden from entering the paradise at this time. As for after that, then no doubt the promise of Allah is true, that the people of Tawheed, the people of Iman, they will be taken out of the fire. And this is the understanding with regards to these narrations. Walillahi alhamd. The point is, again, to emphasize the dangers of this affair. To emphasize the dangers of this affair. Even Al-Imam Ahmad, he was asked, rahimahullah ta'ala, about these. He says, numirruha kama jan. We do not make any ta'wil. We leave them like that. So the people, they will be reprimanded. So the people, they will take reprimand. So some of the early scholars, they would mention that. They will leave the text with regards to the threat. They would say, leave them as they are. Leave them as they are so the people, they take reprimand. But no doubt, after the deviant have come and misused these evidences and try to confuse the people with doubts and misconceptions, it's coming to clarify. It's incumbent to clarify the methodology of understanding these evidences according to the methodology of the Salaf, as-Salaf as-Salih. So after this, the author, he says, وَأَمَّا مَنْ قَتَلَ نَفْسَهُ خَطَأً فَهُوَ مَعْذُورٌ غَيْرٌ مَأْذُورٌ لِقَوْلِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ وَلَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ جُنَاحٌ فِي مَا أَخْطَأْتُمْ بِهِ وَلَكِنْ مَا تَعَمَّدَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ وَقَوْلِهِ رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَاخِذْنَا إِنَّ سِينَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا قَالَ اللَّهُ قَدْ فَعَلْتُ Rawahu Muslim. As for the one who kills himself by mistake, and on accident, he is excused and not blameworthy, based on Allah's statement. There is no sin on you concerning that which you made a mistake in, except in regard to what your hearts deliberately intended. So the one who makes a mistake, then it's lifted from him. He's not held accountable for that. And the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, our Lord punish us not, our Lord do not punish us if we forget or fall into error. O Allah, our Lord, O our Lord, do not punish us if we forget. Do not punish us if we forget or fall into error. Regarding this here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I have done so. It's been narrated by Al-Imam Muslim. A long narration with regards to these verses here. That whenever the believers, they make these supplications, Allah, He says, na'am, na'am, to each one of them. In some wordings, qad fa'altu, yes, I have done that. Meaning I have given them that which they asked for. I have done so. I have done so. So the errors and mistakes that are done unintentionally, then a person, he's not taken to account for that. Meaning he's not taken to account for that with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His pardon with regards to that. So if a person, he did something accidentally and lost his own life because of that, he will not be taken to account for that. This also has been clarified in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in Bukhari and Muslim. And it's been narrated from Salam ibn al-Aqwa radiyallahu anhu on the day of the battle of Khaybar, fi yawmi Khaybar, his uncle Amr ibn al-Aqwa radiyallahu anhu, he had a sword that was short, and he went after a Jewish man with that, and he struck him, and the sword came back and hit him in the knee. He inflicted a wound on himself accidentally. He inflicted a wound on himself accidentally, and then he died from that. So a number of the companions, they were leery from him. They said, يَنِي قَتَلَ نَفْسَهُ, and he killed himself. They killed himself. Some of them, they said, حَبِطَ عَمَلُهُ, his deeds have been invalidated. His deeds have been invalidated. So this clarifies the understanding of the Sahaba. The Sahaba, they know a person who kills himself, he has committed a heinous crime. He has committed a major sin. He has committed a major affair. Many of them, this is what they're saying. Many of them, this is what they're saying. They're saying that that Amr, radiallahu anhu, he was fighting hard. He was striving hard in the battle. He was striving hard in the battle against the enemies of Allah Azza wa Jal, and he struck, and his sword came back and hit himself. And he died from that wound. So they said self-inflicted wound. And they're talking about him. And they said that he killed himself. He died from his own weapon. So they are thinking bad about him. And this is affecting Salama radiallahu anhu, because Salama knows that he was a true believer. And there's a story with regards to this in Bukhari and in Muslim. After the battle, Salama, he says, Ra'ani Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَقَالَ مَالَكَ, and it's mentioned that he said that after the battle, the Prophet, he saw me, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In some wordings, he said he took me by my hand. He's holding me by my hand. He sees that he saw it and said, he said, "Well, مَالَكَ." He said, "What's wrong with you?" He says, "قُلْتُ لَهُ فِدَاكَ أَبِي وَأُمِّي زَعَمُ أَنَّ أَمِيرًا حَبِطَ عَمَلُهُ." He says, "May my father and mother be ransomed for you. They're claiming that Amr, his deeds have been invalidated. They're claiming that Amr's deeds have been invalidated. Look what he's worried about. He's worried about his brother. He's worried about his uncle. He's worried about this believer. About what? About his deeds being invalidated. All of his efforts are gone, like dust in the wind. Like a disbeliever, what do you have to be like? He's worried about this. Why? Because he accidentally stabbed himself in battle and died from that self-inflicted wound. On accident, this is what they're saying. قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ كَذَبَ مَنْ قَالَهُ إِنَّ لَهُ لَأَجْرَيْنِ and وَجَمَعَ بَيْنَ إِصْبَعِهِ. He said, صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, whoever said that is lying, and he's not telling the truth. And he gathered between his two fingers. He said he's going to. He has two rewards. Rather, he has two rewards, and gathered his two fingers like this, صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, and then he said, إِنَّهُ لَجَاهِدٌ مُجَاهِدٌ قَالَ عَرَبِيٌّ مَشَّى. He says that rather he was striving hard, and he was a great fighter in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and very rarely does an Arab meet the likes of this level and reach this high status and rank. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clarified his sincerity and his truthfulness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and likewise clarified his rewards that he has with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a great clarification of the high lofty status and rank of Amir ibn al-Aqwa radiallahu anhu, the uncle, the am of Salama ibn al-Aqwa. And Salama ibn al-Aqwa, likewise, he's from the bravest. He's from the bravest of the soldiers, from the archers. And his story likewise is well known, radiallahu anhu, and he was very fast in running, and he was fearless. And he was fearless, fearing like none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fearing none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a great story here, clarifying this affair. Number one, the point of the issue is that the companions, they consider the one who killed himself to have his deeds invalidated. This is something that's major in their hearts and not something light. And whenever it was seen to be a self-inflicted wound on accident, the excuse was made for him. So therefore, this is the point that of the author here, that the one who committed this crime on accident, he's not held accountable. But likewise, we see the status of this noble companion and the dangers of these affairs. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.